audio is going. Oh, hey, there's a thing underneath you. Can you hand that to me? It's underneath my chair.
This thing?
Yeah. I don't know how it got there, but it's a thing that I'm going to be looking for at some point.
Ah.
It's the other tripod mount for the camera.
Huh.
I try and keep one in the tripod or in the camera case, but I haven't been using the tall tripod, not for like a month.
It was
down there the entire night, so it must have fallen out before.
Oh. All right. Audio is live. Excuse me while I enjoy a delicious sip of beverage.
Trademark.
It's Coke Zero.
Oh.
Fuck. Oh, man. It's late.
It is late.
All right,
let's do this. We need to stop being chatty Cathy's when we pre-show.
We really do. We need to, like, sharpen that up. Also, the pizza took, like, forever to arrive.
Did.
I usually order it earlier, like, before you get here.
Yeah.
But I think recording the pre-show will make us sort of speed up, too.
Maybe.
All right. Sync. Cool.
Two solid ones.
Yeah. I don't know why I just did that. I'm really...
tired.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Jim.
I'm Ryan.
And this is the Concept Crucible Podcast.
And we had a pretty heavy... Well, it ended up being a heavy episode at the end, so we wanted to do something light.
Yep, so this will be a nice, quick, fun episode, hopefully.
Hopefully.
About our past selves.
Yeah.
So we were talking about sending messages to our past selves, or if we could time travel, or things like that.
Yeah.
And what would you tell yourself in the past? It's a common thing. It's like list of advice.
Yeah.
About how not to have a sucky adulthood.
Yeah.
But part of it is, like, both of us are kind of happy, and too much change would change who we are.
Yeah.
Which would be weird.
Yeah.
In fact, if it changed us sufficiently, we would never have met. Or... which we wouldn't do the podcast, which means we couldn't go back in time and give that advice.
Exactly. I was just going to say, it would probably create a time paradox.
It would definitely, because if I advised myself to stay in school, I never would have met you.
That's true. You could be prime minister right now.
Oh, God. Someone new is prime minister right now.
Yeah, this is true.
We're at the time of recording. We have no idea who it is.
It's a mystery.
Ooh, spooky. Anyway, Ryan, let's have the icebreaker. What is your best epoch? Your best 2 points in fixed points in time.
Yeah.
Between.
I would say the summer of 2006 at Peacekeeper Park. It was 1 year before I went to Kenya. That, for me, is the summer of music. Maybe it's not the best music of all time came out in that summer. But for me, it's like the definitive list of music that came out. Tool released an album. Chili Peppers released an album. 3 Days Grace released an album. I first was introduced to Trivium. Atreyu, which got me into Killswitch. I was introduced to As They Lay Dying, which they're not really a band anymore because the lead singer's in jail for trying to kill his wife. But the music was really good.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but and I think some of this was... it's just an artifact of... I lived out... So I worked at a place called Peace... Well, sorry. I worked at a place called... Lake Whitaker Conservation Area, and I lived at a place called Peacekeeper Park. Basically, I lived in a farmhouse for 2 or 3 months, and there was no internet, no cable, no television, no satellite. I had a phone, and I had a radio and books, so I just listened to the radio a lot.
Nice.
And for me, when I think of... And I listened to FM 96 out of London. So, I mean, that for me was the quintessential golden age of radio, was that summer. So, I mean, just it seemed like a lot of really good music was out. Listening to Alan Cross's show. This was back when Jeff... I remember his last name. There's Jeff who did the afternoon show before he went over to the AM station.
I can tell that he left a deep impression on you.
Well, he went over to the AM station and started up a conservative talk show. It was the weirdest thing. I wouldn't have expected that.
Hmm.
So, yeah, and it was also a great summer working with my buddy Sam out of the conservation area, you know, cutting grass and doing manual labor during the day, security at night, some light debauchery, some fun shenanigans. I kind of crashed the company truck into a tree a little bit, and it was just a really fun summer, you know. It's a little bit of love and romance, some stupid stuff, just old enough to drink. It was just, when I think about it, it was just a great year, you know. So that's probably my best point in time, I would say.
Mine is September 2011 to August 2012, which is grad school.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a year doing my master's. And I got to meet and work with some really cool people. I got to take a look at professional academia in a way that I had never understood before. Long enough look that I understood that I didn't want to go any farther in it. I needed to do other stuff. I was seeing a really great girl at the time. I ran my first charity event. That was the first year we did headshots. I tried a lot of new things. I failed at a lot of new things, and some of them really succeeded. I started really being online and spending more time on the internet, which is now where I spend all my time, and I really like it here. So there's that. And by the end of it, by the time June rolled around, I had 3 months to write 3 major research papers. I had done a lot of the research. And I had, you know, like I had conceived of all these papers. All the sort of hard stuff was the other way. All I had to do was write them.
Mm.
But I gave myself 1 month per paper. But by the end of it, I was not only writing, you know, easily a paper a month. Like I turned in my last paper early. I was also writing 7 blog posts a week minimum. And like, it was just, I felt really sort of at leisure to be creative. That said, I could have done a lot more with my time. But like there was this notion where I was writing so much and I was really happy and I didn't want it to end, but at the same time I knew that it had to end because I couldn't afford to do another term.
Mm-hmm.
And my funding ran out at the end of August, which means hell or high water, I was finishing that degree.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that we decided to frame this was, give yourself, you know, like a statement that you would give to yourself at 3 points in time.
Mm-hmm.
10-year-old you, 20-year-old you, and you from last month.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan, if you met 10-year-old you through some confluence of timey-wimey events, what would you tell them?
So, assuming little Ryan would listen to me.
Well, even if he didn't. Well, I mean, you're still going to tell him. Adults give advice to kids all the time that they're never going to listen to.
Yeah.
Obviously, you didn't listen to you.
Yeah. So I would probably tell him to take being active more seriously, and active in a physical sense. So, I mean, 10 years old is not really a good time to be talking about...
upping your self-improvement game.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I'm not saying that I should have, like, exercised at 10 or watched what I ate. But I was still swimming at the time competitively. And before, so I started swimming in Canada and then moved stateside. And had I not moved to the States, if I stayed in Canada on the team, within a year or two, I might have progressed from the B level team to the A team. So B level, we swam, I think, 3 days a week. And then we went to meets all the time. But the A team, they swam every morning, like 5 mornings a week, plus the occasional afternoon swim. Like they were a more of like an elite traveling team.
Yeah.
And I was told that I probably within, you know, maybe a year or two of progressing would have made it up to that point. And like I wrestled a bit when I was, I might have been 11 years old at the time, but I, shortly after I'm talking to little Ryan, I probably would have, I started wrestling and stuff. So I think if I could have urged him to maybe take health and fitness seriously. So like after puberty, maybe start lifting weights, just instill some of those good habits early on and, you know, play more sports or try to be more active. Because things will come back to bite you in the butt, and you'll lose out on some opportunities. For example, summer of 2000,
summer of some,
I think it was 2002. I was given the opportunity through cadets to go to Scotland on an exchange program. So they sent me up to CFB Connaught. I started the pre-course training. I did a fitness test, failed the fitness test. They gave me another option a couple days later, tried to do the fitness test, did even worse on the second fitness test. Probably I psyched myself out or something. And so they sent me, they returned me to unit. They RTU'd me, and I ended up going from Connaught in Ottawa to CFB Borden to do staff trip. Like, I was a staff cadet for the rest of the summer. I found out in retrospect, I should have never gone for the pre-course training, that I never had passed the fitness requirements, but somehow I had been placed into the program. And so I lost out on an opportunity to travel internationally at the time. All because, you know, I didn't really take it seriously. So there are other things that I probably missed out on, but that's just one example. So 10-year-old Ryan, you should take just health and athleticism and, you know, nutrition and stuff. It all kind of gets all packaged together. Just take it a little bit more seriously. Play some more sports on top of everything else.
Play more sports. Yeah, I declare you a fake nerd with my absolutely not official nerd power, which I don't have. So if I'm at 10-year-old Jim, I would probably not punch him in the face. 10-year-old Jim was in the fifth grade, and 10-year-old Jim had a superpower. 10-year-old Jim could say the one thing that would escalate a situation dramatically. Like, no matter how tense it was, 10-year-old Jim had a superpower that he could detect and, without thinking, utter the phrase that would make a tense situation detonate. And I grew up, when I was 10, learning to use my superpower a lot on my parents. On my teachers, which is where the rest of this comes in. My fifth grade teacher would send me to the hall. He would just be like, "Go and stand in the hall, or sit in the hall." I spent most of my fifth grade that I remember in the hall. And his sort of notion was, I could come back in when I was ready to apologize or when I was bored. But 10-year-old Jim was also super stubborn, and that is not a thing that... Like, adult Jim is stubborn, but 10-year-old... Like, child Jim was infinitely more stubborn because he had even less shit to do. As an adult, there's a limit to my stubbornness because I have stuff I have to do. Mm-hmm. I can't just sit locked in a, you know, staring contest with you. I have to do my laundry. Mm-hmm. And it matters to me. Also, it's just stupid bullshit, so I don't care. But 10-year-old Jim did not have a lot to do, and so 10-year-old Jim was perfectly happy to just engage in a contest of wills with anyone. And so he'd be like, come back in when you're bored. And I learned never to be bored. I would look at weird patterns and tell stories about them, and I spent the entire fifth grade telling stories to myself. And the thing I would tell 10-year-old Jim is, the most important thing you have learned this year is how not to be bored. The next important thing you have to learn is how to use that. Also, stop being a shithead. This is not a superpower. Then I would punch him in the mouth.
Very violent towards your past self.
Listen, all right? I understand the kinds of things the 10-year-old Jim did.
Yeah.
All right. What about 20-year-old Ryan?
So, 20-year-old Ryan, as I said, summer 2006 was amazing. So, this would have been then summer 2007. Like, basically, my birthday's in December. So, December 2006 onwards. So, at any point during that time up until the summer of 2007 would probably be the best time to catch 20-year-old Ryan. So, Ryan is in second year, or heading into the middle of between second and third year. So I wouldn't want to urge Ryan to do too much, because in 2007 I traveled to Kenya, and that was like one of those defining moments that when I look at where I am now, a lot of stuff is traced to that decision to go to Kenya. So I don't want to mess around with that too much. The only things I can think of that I would say is, look, awesome things are coming. Like, you're going to have an amazing time, just amazing things. So, two things. Learn to journal more, or learn to write more, because I did other expedition-based stuff, and I journaled a lot better for those. But Kenya, I don't regret not journaling, but it would have been a little bit more useful if I had journaled more. For finishing my Duke of Ed, which I did eventually, my gold level of Duke of Edinburgh award. And it was just, it would have been nice to put a few more stories to the pictures. And then the other thing I would say is, and I won't put say what the hang-ups are, but, you know, 20-year-old Ryan, you have a few hang-ups. Learn to let it go. In the end, 7 years is too long to be hung up on this thing. So learn to let go and learn to journal a bit more.
Good advice. Good advice. You're on the solid, like, self-improvement advice train.
Yeah.
20-year-old Jim... I was working in a library at that point. I think I had just stopped working at Zeller's as a shipper receiver, and I had started working at a library, and then I would go on to work construction and growth chamber repair all summer, I believe, which was really weird and really fun. I got to travel around Ontario with a really neat guy, and we would fix growth chambers at universities, and I learned a whole ton of stuff about tech and hardware and both, like, tools and computers and, like, problem solving and just all kinds of stuff. But 20-year-old Jim was not in a super great place, because he didn't really have a career in growth chamber repair, and he didn't really want a career in growth chamber repair. He wanted to go to university at some point and, like, learn a thing. That was the summer I got my high school equivalency, I think, when I was 20. I saved up all my money, because that was a whole ton of money for me, just to, like, get to London and back. I remember, because I couldn't afford a hotel room, I had to sleep in a Tim Hortons. They didn't mind too much, but I heard Moby Dick that weekend. But 20-year-old Jim didn't have a plan. He just sort of assumed that by the time he was 30, he would have either figured everything out or he wouldn't be here anymore. And the thing I would tell 20-year-old Jim face-to-face with him is, I am 32 and things are better. I still have not figured everything out, but I am still here and things have improved and things are doing okay. There are people who matter to you and you matter to them. Some of those people are people you fucking know. Like, you know them now, and you will continue to know them long into the future. And to the point where you can't stop being friends with them because you're fucking stuck with each other for the rest of your lives. Which is great. And also stop being a shithead. And then I would punch him in the mouth. Listen, you don't know what 20-year-old Jim got up to. The people that I know now who were friends with 20-year-old Jim are amazing. I mean, none of them knew 10-year-old Jim, but 20-year-old Jim... 20-year-old Jim was an okay guy when he was an okay guy.
When he was an okay guy.
Yeah, well, 20-year-old Jim was tautologically true when he was tautologically true.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, it's that notion that you have a future. You don't know it yet. Because you don't think you have anything. All you have is this stupid box of macaroni and cheese, which I still have. It's up above us on this shelf. And you are terrified of the fact that your life is going nowhere, that you are going to spend your entire life working in dead-end jobs and achieve nothing and matter to no one. And that still might be true. Let's not rule that out.
Yeah.
But, like, you do have a future. There is something... There is a person that you are trying to be that you are eventually going to get closer to. And only I could tell 20-year-old Jim that. Lots of people tried to tell 20-year-old Jim that. 20-year-old Jim wasn't fucking listening to any of them. Mm-hmm. But I am the only person that 20-year-old Jim could listen to, because I'm the only person that really knows what we are like. Yeah, 20-year-old Jim was not in a good place. He had a really cool job for a while, but he was not in a good place. Anyway, Ryan.
After all the feels.
Yeah. Last month. You from last month. It is currently October. You from September. What would you tell yourself?
September 22nd. And if you saw me, I was looking on my phone. It was only because I needed to verify the date. September 22nd and September 23rd passed me. You will have Gus, our dog. And he will be staying...
Not our dog. I don't have a dog.
My and past me's dog.
Yes.
You will have Gus for the weekend because you're helping Sarah out. And you will be also working full time. So Gus will be left alone at home. So Monday's fine. But September 22nd, September 23rd, Gus has a problem with holding it until you're done work. So what I recommend is that on September 22nd... You maybe take a lunch break and you drive home and take Gus for a walk and check on him. September 23rd wasn't bad because September 23rd was in the kitchen, which is easier to mop up. But September 22nd, we had to rent a carpet cleaner. And we were supposed to have a sushi date with Dave, who we hadn't seen and had dinner with in a while. We were going to catch up. Dave is one of my, my very first friend in university. We lived on the same floor. We were supposed to go for sushi at like 6 o'clock, and I ended up having to push it 8 o'clock because I had to go and rent a carpet cleaner and clean my carpet.
This would be the weirdest, like Doc Brown, like Ryan from September 21st is coming around a corner, and Ryan from a month in the future grabs him and is like, Ryan!
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 You gotta get home! You gotta take care of Gus! Yes, so... past me, from last month. This is your future talking. Please, 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 decide for once to not bring a lunch to work, because you've been diligently doing so for like 2.5 years, or to 3 years. Actually, maybe even more, because you did it at the gambling lab. So good on you for, like, taking your lunch every day to work and being healthy and being frugal. But on that day, just go ahead and go home and take care of Gus. Take him for a walk.
Ryan from the past. Ryan from 1 month in the past. You have a problem.
Yeah.
The problem is that you are too responsible.
Yeah.
You need to be more responsible by being less responsible. Yeah.
To be fair, though... if you are still far too late, there's no stain. The smell is gone unless you're like a centimeter away from the carpet.
Stop smelling your carpet.
It's okay.
Don't ever smell your carpet. Okay. In fact, don't ever smell my carpet either. Please don't.
So, but that's my advice to me from last month. Jim, next. What's your advice to you?
Jim from last month is... what did I do last month? Poetry Slam. I did not go to the Poetry Slam last month because I was sleepy. And Kaylee was sleepy. Like, it was just a really low energy day. And I recovered afterward, but I was really sort of just tired and out of it. But I think I would have recovered at the Poetry Slam. And I didn't play my guitar all month. But I just sort of didn't have a... like, I didn't give myself a chance to. I was too busy sort of trying to do other things. But it would be that you don't need to go to the Poetry Slam to pick up your guitar. You can write music and play music, and you like doing that. And it doesn't just have to be like prep for the Poetry Slam or write a song for the Poetry Slam. You can just do it. So do that. Because you like it. It turns out. Don't just work all the time. But what I would like to hear is what advice you would give yourself, you viewer or listener, you can leave it in the comments, to either 10-year-old you or 20-year-old you or you from last month, who I'm sure is at least... You're a month wiser now, so that's something. It really took us a lot of work. I mean, time-traveling dog interruption. I guess if you're time-traveling, you could just, like, time-travel to the past, walk your dog, and then it, like, present you would never know. Of course, if your dog never pooped on the carpet... mm-hmm. Then
it'd be another time paradox.
Time paradox. Like yeah. You'd create us. Is that dinner with Dave worth creating a splinter timeline over?
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that.
It's okay. We don't live in that splinter timeline
that we know of.
Yeah, unless you know, past you really wanted to have dinner with Dave. That's or future you,
that's,
I guess.
That's a scary thought to leave on.
How many Splinter timelines do we live in?
We might be in the dark timeline.
You do have a beard.
I do have a beard.
So do I. For listeners, we have beards.
My Spock beard. I cover up my cheeks.
If you cover up the rest of your beard apart from the part that looks like a Spock beard, then you have a Spock beard. That's true. We're never going to be able to unthink that now.
Yeah.
I don't have a Spock beard. But I am Jim.
And I'm Ryan.
And we're signing off.
Stay wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
It's complicated. We'll explain it later.
Yeah.
Cool. Stop the camera.